Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Chris Montiero has spent 14 years at MasterCard Worldwide, where he's led the Worldwide Communications Department there. Responsible for employee communications, external influencer relations, ranging from traditional corporate media relations, industry analyst relations, and social media channel management, and digital influencer strategies, reputation and issues management, thought leadership programming, and public policy communications. In particular, he's been charged with supporting the global integration of the communications discipline at MasterCard in order to help the company achieve its vision of a world beyond cash. So first question, MasterCard is undergoing a transformation from its traditional position as a B2B financial services company to a technology payments company. Now, first off, what's the difference between B2B and technology payments, and how do you make that transition?
If you think about the way the average consumer thinks about MasterCard, there can potentially be an understanding that we're seen as a credit card company in a lot of ways. And truth be told, when you look behind that, we're actually a technology company that helps facilitate payments, that happens to be in the payments industry. We don't issue cards directly to consumers. We work through financial institutions who then issue the cards through to consumers. We don't set the fees, the rates, or the rewards on those cards. The banks, that the financial institutions that issue the cards directly to consumers, they do that. So the evolution that you're talking about relates to the fact that we're evolving as a company and we're articulating the value that we bring to a whole new set of stakeholders. And this goes back to when we went public in 2006, it became important for us to articulate the value that we're bringing to a much broader stakeholder than what used to be just the financial services industry. So we used to be an association made up of banks, and so very much a B2B organization. The banks were our primary customers. Merchants were important. But when we went public, you can imagine the set of stakeholders in our universe has grown. And we've got to articulate the value that we bring to those new and different stakeholders in a new environment. So it's merchants are important, absolutely. Governments are important. Always, consumers have always been important to us, the cardholder. And certainly customers, the banks, the financial institutions as well. You can imagine that transformation has made us look at how do we move from just a B2B organization with a focus on financial institutions that issue our cards to what we referred to there, a B2B2C company, which is ultimately consumers look at our brand, understand our brand, and want to know what we're bringing. And when we think of that, technology has a lot to do with it. We have wired the world for electronic payments. We're in 210 countries and territories around the world. And just as you expect your card to work at the corner store in your neighborhood, likewise you expect the card to work when you're traveling halfway around the world for business or for pleasure. And we deliver that consistent experience. So it's the technology and wiring of the world that we've done that really is unique and differentiating for us. So that's why we refer to ourselves as a technology company that happens to be in the payments industry. And these are some of the reasons why we're starting to look more like a B2B2C type company.
You know, it just never occurred to me that after all these years that MasterCard was not a public company.
Yeah, so we're a company that's 46 years old right now. And for 40 of those years, we were an association made up of financial institutions. So the banks really owned our entity. We had a network, again, kind of that network I described, and the brand. We were an association for those 40 years.
So you're responsible for corporate communications.
Yeah, my role is I'm the head of worldwide communications here at MasterCard. And what that entails is I work with a team of about 70 people, and we manage the external communications, which includes media and industry analysts and influencers. And what I mean by influencers could be thought leaders, could be in the social media space, you know, folks who are driving conversations around our brand and our products and solutions in the industry. Additionally, I mentioned industry analysts, those who are looking at the financial services space and particularly payments. I also look after internal communications, so employee engagement is big for us. Thought leadership is big in terms of communications. Public policy communications in tandem with my public policy teams. And overall, I would say, you know, as we think of our mission, it's really about driving and maintaining and managing the reputation of our organization and creating communication strategies that help drive bottom line growth.
And this is worldwide, right?
It's worldwide. There's 70 people around the world. As I mentioned, we do business in 210 countries and territories. And so you can imagine we're 24/7 operation around the globe, and we have communications teams in each of the regions that you would expect, you know, covering Latin America. We've got a North America team. I've got a Europe team, Middle East, Africa, and Asia Pacific.
How is corporate communications helping with MasterCard's transformation?
The landscape for communications over the time that I've been here, I've been at MasterCard 15 years and in this current role for the last 3 years as head of communications. What I've witnessed over my time is the changing landscape of communications. So there's a high degree of change in terms of, it used to be a corporation could control and command its communications. With the advent of all the social channels that exist today, the control is not the key word, but rather engagement and listening and engaging in the dialogue that is being had about your brand and informing the conversations accurately. So communications' role in the transformation of MasterCard at this particular time, there's a high degree of education in terms of who we are as a company, the value we deliver through to those stakeholders that I discussed at the outset, and not only engaging, but also informing those conversations as well. So you'll see us taking a much more proactive, a much more creative approach to telling the value story. And oftentimes, the stories we're telling are not from the center out, are not from our organization out to third parties, to consumers, but rather, oftentimes, we're using the voices of those who have experienced the value that we can bring. So it could be a small merchant in Latin America who is telling the value story of accepting electronic payments and what that has brought to his business. You know, we've got a story of a baker in Europe who's doing the same thing, who is now accepting credit cards and is recognizing the value in terms of sales for his organization. It can be the U.S. government who is using electronic payments for Social Security payments and the value that they're recognizing, cost savings, as well as ease of use for recipients of those benefits as well.
How long has your organization had a specific operation devoted to worldwide communication?
We've been a global organization for some time now. In my time, 15 years, we've always had a global view of communications. And as you can imagine, at present, if we look at our business in terms of revenues, approximately 60% comes from outside the U.S., 40% here in the U.S. And the reason that outside the U.S. number keeps on growing is due to the growth of international markets as part of our key business. So the global landscape has always been an important aspect of MasterCard's business.
You'd say that it's increasing as the world changes?
Yeah, no doubt. I think the interconnectivity, technology, and the digital world and the social space has really flattened the world such that the global approach to our business continues to grow. And the opportunities for our business in international markets and emerging markets in particular is quite fascinating and continues to grow very rapidly.
And I would think that social media has had an impact also on MasterCard around the globe.
Yeah, the advent of social media, new technologies, new ways to communicate, again, has taken down barriers. So conversations and the way an organization is represented has to be very transparent. Also, more and more has to be local. and relevant in specific markets. So while we're seeing at one level a high degree of transparency from the corporate side, there is an expectation, I would say, of consumers around the world to have very tailored messaging specific to their experience in language, real time. So that has certainly changed the way we operate from a communication standpoint.
So let's say here in the United States, we would expect the messages to be U.S. oriented. Now, in India, the social media would ensure that the message was from India and oriented to the needs of customers there.
That's right. There are some issues which are of global interest that will cut across all geographies. But then there are very local and locally relevant topics that consumers and other stakeholders, not just consumers, but again, think of merchants, think of governments, certainly financial institutions, they seek that same level of speed and information sharing, but they seek it tailored specifically to their markets. So the demand for that one size fits all is over. The demand for customization of information in real time has never been higher.
And what are some of the messages that fall into the category of worldwide?
Well, just general who we are, the brand promise that we deliver, again, especially with the high degree of travel that consumers are doing today, folks want to know that their card is accepted worldwide. And that's the promise we deliver, which is you can use your card at the corner store wherever you are in the world, and you can use it when you're traveling to far-flung location. There are some core promises that MasterCard delivers through to consumers and to its users and cardholders, I should say, in general, that are universal in nature.
All right, let's talk about MasterCard's commitment to social media through social listening and engagement. What's that all about?
The way I would describe this is with the push in terms of social conversations and its impact on business, there's a groundswell culture change where the company has embraced what we call a social enterprise strategy. And it's built on the pillars of social media, social marketing, and social products. It's not necessarily about a Twitter or a Facebook strategy, but it's about creating what we call a force multiplier to the business, driving innovation and new thinking on how we connect, how we communicate and deliver value to people, merchants, governments, and industry observers. So we created a conversation suite, and it's basically a dynamic insights and engagement engine that has shifted the company from just monitoring social and traditional media to purposeful listening, which allows us to inform business decisions, such as tweaking a message around a particular product or solution. But also, you can imagine, we have the ability now to listen in 43 markets and 26 languages to conversations that are relevant to our brand. So you can imagine, it not only informs how we communicate, but also has the potential to shape business decisions. It increases the degree of awareness and collaboration and engagement inside our company. It has the potential to improve products and solutions that exist right now that we're getting feedback on real time. And it has the ability, ultimately, by listening, we get the ability or potential ability to create new and different products and solutions as a result of it. So we're seeing added value by listening and understanding our audiences a little bit better through listening to conversations that are being had in social circles in these 43 markets and 26 languages. And we get the data and the insights, and we break them into bite-sized pieces so as to make them actionable for our organization.
When you say listening to conversations, I get kind of an impression of the surveillance drones and espionage and NSA snooping or whatever. I mean, what are you listening to?
When I say listening, it's really about, we've got a dynamic tool that basically pulls from social conversations and posting online. So think of Twitter or Facebook, where conversations are involving our brand. We have the ability to see those conversations and organize them in a fashion where conclusions can be drawn about a positive experience related to a brand, one of our products and solutions, or it can allow us to see conversations that are happening online that involve our brand, which allow us to insert ourselves into the conversation to help from a cardholder service standpoint. So if somebody's out there, say, using Twitter to tweet about a good experience that they've had using our products and solutions, well, we can see that. If they're out there expressing a concern or having a challenge using a product or solution in a particular market, we want the ability to see that. And so, again, going back to the original point I made early on, which was about the communications role historically being about controlling the message, these are the examples I mean about engaging in listening to what consumers and others are saying and engaging in those conversations to help inform, to help correct, to help assist in some places, and to recognize in others. So the tool that we have is a global insights and engagement engine that canvasses the social media space in the markets that I mentioned, and it brings into our organization the real-time data and insights and conversations that involve our brand so that we can be actionable towards those, so that we can show that we're listening and we can learn from those and engage to understand what consumers are expecting of us, what they like, what they seek more of. That's truly the way the world has shifted. And from a corporate communication standpoint, you can imagine, it went from a push of a message out to now an engaging with, more in a conversation versus a filibuster.
Who do you use to staff the conversation suite?
We have an integrated team approach here. Certainly worldwide communications, my function is the host organization. And we have this capability around the world through my team. We partner with a number of folks inside our organization, from marketing to cardholder services, product groups, and frankly, all employees that want to participate. From a training standpoint, we have a training in place to create social ambassadors, and they will add their voice to the conversation and engage so they can represent our company in particular areas of the business or in particular conversations that are going on. So we train internally. The insights and analytics that we get from this listening engine are shared weekly, monthly, and quarterly to the entire company. We create custom reports and views for business units, and really the objective being to deliver data and insights, useful data and insights, and actionable data and insights through to the organization in terms of what's working well, where we have opportunity, and perhaps where we need to improve.
You mentioned how the social media data is used to guide business decisions. What kinds of decisions? Can you give me an example?
In advance of Mobile World Congress in Barcelona this past winter, where we were getting ready to announce MasterPass, which was a new product for us at the time, we conducted a mobile payment study to assess people's willingness to adopt mobile payments. The study we did hinged on social landscape. So we conducted what we called the Mobile Payment Social Media Study, and we tracked about 85,000 related social media comments across Twitter, Facebook, online blogs, discussion forums from around the world. And the results showed a high volume of conversation and consumer interest in adopting mobile payments, but cited security, customer support, and some degree of confusion over an array of options available as barriers of entries, you know, for consumers to actually engage with mobile payments. So ultimately, we use these findings to help us refine not only the MasterPass product that was delivered, but also the way we communicated. We now understood what was important to consumers first and foremost, and we were delivering a solution that met those needs, but we also had to communicate to those audiences based on the things that they were telling us that looked like concerns. They needed to be addressed. So again, this goes back to the overall premise, which is in order for us to truly deliver value through to our cardholders, we must first listen to them and then show up with the right solution at the right time, meeting their needs versus, again, pushing out from the corporate organization onto people.
And I'm sorry, did you mention to me how long you had the conversation suite?
The conversation suite is about a year and a half old now.
And how do you train people to be a part of it?
Historically, I'd have the data and insights come into the communications team and sit on people's desktops in my communications group. What we've subsequently done, though, is we looked at the value of that data and insights and the importance of it to the entire enterprise. And what we're striving for is to create a truly social enterprise so that everybody from a marketing person to a product person can walk into a venue and can engage with this data and analytics, with the ultimate goal being to improve our products and solutions through to the end user. So what we used was an open space inside our atriums. And we're doing this around the world in high traffic locations in each one of our regional and local offices. We put the data up in a very friendly and engaging and comfortable environment so that employees can spend time with it to understand what consumers and other important stakeholders are saying about the products and solutions that they're working on. So the first and foremost in terms of training is just exposing people to the conversations and the data and the information that is available to them. Then we have a number of programs where we train people to be ultimately social ambassadors and listeners and engagers on behalf of the overall company. So it's very much first and foremost getting people exposed to the information and the conversations that are going on, and then allowing them to get to a place where they're comfortable with some of the different social channels to serve as the ambassadors, if you will, for the products and solutions, and ultimately for our brand overall.
Based on your experience at MasterCard and with the Conversation Suite, what do you see as the important steps for other companies as they expand and they have to deal with global markets?
I think the first step is certainly a realization that conversations about their brands are happening 24/7 and around the globe. And the question is, are you going to treat that as black box information and not engage with it or not look under or into the box to see what people are saying? Or if you are, there's a degree of tolerance, I would say, with each company. And what the individual who kind of looks at this needs to do is understand what is their company's tolerance in terms of engagement. I don't think it's feasible any longer to not have an appreciation of the conversations related to your brand. You have to, as a first step, at least understand what people are saying about your brand. There are tools available to companies to, at a minimum, be a listener without engaging in the first instance. And I think that's an important first step that doesn't bring on too much risk to the organization because, again, each organization is going to have a different tolerance in terms of how far it's willing to go. But it no longer feels like an option to me. At a minimum, you have to have an understanding of what stakeholders are saying about your brand, and they're saying it 24/7 and around the globe. So you have to, at a minimum, get engaged with the content and get that data and insights surfaced. So that's the first step. Then the next step is you've got to work internally through your channels to get your organization up and running in terms of engagement. And there's all sorts of partnerships between communications, marketing, certainly legal, the rules of the road for employees in terms of how they engage, how they use social channels, both their personal and the corporate channels, to represent the brand. Those are important foundational elements that need to be taken into consideration and are often done in partnership with your legal department before you dive right in. Then once you get to a place where you've got the rules and the foundation set up, you're starting to monitor the data for some time just to listen and observe. Then you can begin to strategically pick your spots in terms of how you as a company and who as individuals within your company begins to represent your brand in these social circles. And it's an evolution from there, but I would just caution folks not to think that they've got to dive right in, but there's some good steps to follow, which look like infrastructure first and foremost, assessing tolerance, but absolutely listening, and then beginning to engage.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I was thinking that a lot of smaller companies would say, well, MasterCard can do that. I'm Sam's, well, whatever. And while I may be operating abroad, I don't need that kind of communication. Am I correct that smaller companies can do similar kinds of things? Maybe not as big, but they need to do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would argue that some of the best case examples of companies that are doing this well are some of those smaller companies that don't have some of the challenges or restrictions or potential visibility that many of the larger companies might have. This is relevant in different ways to all companies, regardless of size. I think every individual has come to expect the same experiences that they have in their own social circles using those tools, whether it's a large brand or a small brand, a large company or small. They expect their information to come this way. The turnaround times have become much shorter, and the demands. And frankly, some of those smaller companies can create competitive differentiation by getting this right.
So any parting words of wisdom for us, Chris?
I think there's a couple of things. I think in terms of the transformation of a company and the role of social, as we've discussed here, the importance of the internal culture is critical. My belief is before you can rush out and begin to shift the conversation and engage in the conversation and do it in an authentic way externally, it's very important to ensure that you have proper alignment of what is your company's vision, your mission, the values, and what matters, the priorities that matter, and the business strategy inside your organization, so that when you show up externally, whether it be through traditional or social channels, there's no disconnect between what your employees are seeing and feeling on a day-to-day basis inside your organization to that of what they're seeing externally. That degree of authenticity and engagement, if you can get that right inside your organization first, the power and, again, the credibility of having those employees as brand ambassadors in every social circle, from hanging out with friends and representing the work that they do through to representing your company in a forum like we've described earlier, becomes all that much more powerful.
Our guest on today's program has been Chris Montiero, and he's been with MasterCard Worldwide for a long time, heading up their worldwide communications. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.